Savages, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. First off, it's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple, Google, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. So download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Trust me, people, you're going to love it. Thank you.
Dunn in a Yankee uniform is hit. 3-2 pitch. Fly ball into right. Back at the wall. This ball is gone for a home run. And this game is tied.
Welcome to the Savage Empire. I'm your host, Mike Trainer. Good to be back. And boy, did we all have an exciting day today, didn't we? The Yankees woke up. Today they decided that they were going to throw their hat into the ring of free agency. And they got their man. Ladies and gentlemen, we got him. DJ, the Machine, LeMahieu. He's back. He is back. The deal is 6 years. You heard me right. 6 years. This has been a topic of discussion on Twitter all day. 6 years. $90 million. Which is roughly $15 million per year, basically. So both sides ended up winning the deal. He got his years, which means he can retire a Yankee. And the Yankees get to keep his contract reasonably cheap. 15. As long as he continues to hit the way he hits, it'll be a good deal. So he gave them a team-friendly deal. They gave him the years. And now we're off and running. Finally, have joined the free agency market. And they're not done. Because, yes, just reported not much more than an hour ago. Also, we have signed free agent starting pitcher, the guy I was saying for months that the Yankees would be smart to take a flyer out on this guy, none other than Corey Kluber, for reportedly $11 million over 1 year. I think it's a little too high, but it's a 1 year deal, so it comes off the books, so I guess you're paying for that. I still don't think they're done making moves. I think there's another starting pitcher out there that they can get, and possibly a bullpen guy. Now, as I'm seeing, apparently they're over the luxury tax now of 210. So moves are going to have to be made. Now, there's rumors also of them being interested in Brantley, which means that Clint would be probably on his way out as a trade piece, most likely for a starting pitcher. Now, who could that be? My guess would be Castillo from Cincinnati, stud ace kid. I think they would get him for 3 more years of control, if I'm right. Might be wrong on that. Either way, that would be a steal. And you know what? I would not mind giving up Clint for that. I'm a big pitcher guy, so pitching always wins. Kluber, I think if healthy, he has to pass his physical. Could be a steal. Now, he is not an ace anymore. He is probably high side two at most. Three probably at best. And four or five if not, you know, healthy, I guess. But I like it. I think it's a steal. I think it's a low risk, big reward. So if he sucks this year, well, it's $11 million, and then he gets to go away. If he's good, well, then for him, he can turn that into a multi-year deal, probably with another team, or possibly with the Yankees, but either way, it's a good deal. So let's get back to LeMahieu, the big topic of the day. Everybody is so excited on Twitter. Yankee fans are just happy Cashman decided that today was a good day to come out of hibernation, finally get this deal done. We were all starting to get a little worried. We were getting a little nervous out there, but he woke up, he got it done, and pretty much that's what everybody expected to happen. Now, the years, 6 years seems a little bit much. I've been on the record of saying I wouldn't go more than four. But that was paying him more. So they decided to give him less money, less per year, but to spread it out more. So he'll end up getting his money and a couple more years out of it, and the Yankees keep the payroll down, so to speak. So it's a win-win. I like it. And we all know what he can do, which also means that Glaber, pending being traded, which I doubt will happen, and at least anytime soon, is now our starting shortstop for the future, at least for the next 6 years. So we can put to bed the Didi rumors, we can put to bed Trevor Story rumors. Thank God we never have to discuss getting Correa. I couldn't imagine him on this team the way he is. Oh, I just would hate to have to cheer for him. But those rumors are gone. They're put to bed. We got our guy. And now we work on fixing the rotation, shoring up the pen, possibly a bench guy, but I don't know how much they're willing to spend. DJ and Kluber come on the 40 man, which means two people have to go off. So we'll see what happens there. I still think there's another big move coming. Now, fingers crossed for me personally, and probably for a few left of us holdouts, maybe a Trevor Bauer signing, but I doubt it. It looks less likely now. I was thinking more of a plan B in terms of if they did not get DJ, that they would just go cheap until next year, where they go for the big shortstop and move Glaber over and put that money this year in the starting pitching, but they got their guy. Now, we all know how the lineup can be. If this lineup stays healthy, it is the best in baseball, without a doubt, no question. If healthy. So let's hope that we finally get a stroke of good luck for once, and this team can be healthy, because DJ is going to be DJ. We need everybody else to do their part. And we need Gary Sanchez to be better, too. So Kluber signed. Let's talk about the rotation. Now we got Cole, obviously, as the ace. And then there's a steep drop-off. As it is right now, Kluber would be our number two, even though I don't personally want him to be our number two, but out of necessity, he is our number two. Number three is Monty. Number four is, well, it could be Herman, most likely. And number five would be a combination of Garcia, Schmidt, King,
I would prefer Lasagna in the bullpen because I think he would do better out there if they just let him unleash his great stuff and not have to worry about being a starter. But that's a conversation for another day. So unless they trade Herman, I think Herman will be there. And if he can repeat what he did a couple years ago, minus, you know, the domestic violence, if he can get us at least 15, 16, 17 wins, that would be nice. I like to see Clark Schmidt take a big step forward too this year. And I think Garcia is going to be fine. But I just posted on Twitter before saying I would empty the farm right now and go for it. If there's a deal to be made to get Castillo, get him. Other than Dominguez, who a lot of people say that, you know, you want to trade that guy because he's definitely our most hyped prospect, but he's 17 years old. I want to see what this kid turns into. And if he turns into like the next Mike Trout and what they're saying, now I don't know if that's going to be true, but I kind of want to see it. I kind of want to see it in pinstripes. I don't want to be worrying about that on another team. And I think the Yankees kind of want to see it too. Now, if we can get Castillo, think about this for a rotation, all right? Cole, Castillo, Kluber, Monty, and Herman. Okay? And we get Severino back as, like, you know, as what we like to call our mid-season acquisition from the DL. Now, everybody's expecting him to come out and be ready to go. We all know with Tommy John, even if he looks like he's ready to go, he's really not going to be much effective this year. And maybe in the postseason, if they let him open it up, he's going to be on a pitch count and an innings limit. And they're just going to basically want to get him some innings and games this year. But really, it's the year after where they'll let him open it up and fly it. So don't count too much on Sevy this year. He'll help us, and hopefully he'll be ready for the playoffs. But I'm not counting on him until we have to. So kind of just crossing him off, putting him in the back of my mind. I don't think people should put much stock in believing that he's going to be ready to be any kind of contribution. Hopefully a little bit, hopefully by the end of the season, but when he comes back, not so much. So in that case, that's still a big hole that we have to fill because it's still a big drop off between Cole and Kluber. Now, Kluber, like I said, low risk, high reward. But what if he turns out to be not so good? He really has not pitched in the last 2 years. So we'll see what he's got. But if he's not that good, then we're kind of in trouble. And so you really need to get another guy, whether it's a Tanaka, whether it's Paxton coming back, if he's healthy. And there was reports out there that he is healthy. He's topping back off at 94. So he looks like he's doing good, but I haven't heard much on him in terms of anybody looking at him. And when it comes to Tanaka, it sounds like us or Japan, because that's where his wife is. I guess she's a music star or whatever. And, you know, home is in Japan. So let her, who I guess is considerably worth more than him, which is kind of funny. It's amazing how much these music people make. Anyway, so it's either us or Japan. And there's really nobody else out there, I think, free agency-wise, I really want to get. Because it's kind of like bargain basement time after these guys. That's why, since the Reds are in, you know, selling mode, they're going to want a haul for Castillo. Now, I don't know who's offering anything out there. I really haven't heard much about it. But if they can get him, you imagine him in our rotation and then going forward after this year? I mean, that's scary stuff. And with this lineup, and if we can start to win these things, you might be talking about another mini dynasty here. I get goosebumps thinking about that. I think you do too. Now, just, you know, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves. Cashman's still making moves. We'll see how this looks in a month, but I'm loving it so far. Before I get to the arbitration numbers that came out today, I do want to say a big thank you to the Somerset Patriots, our AA affiliate team, for sending me a nice hat with the logo on it and everything. Very much appreciative of it. A few weeks ago, I took a shot in the dark, decided, let me see if I can get a hat from these guys. And we were tweeting back and forth, and they were kind of playing with me a little bit, and I was playing back. And, you know, they were like, yeah, we'll send you a hat. So they sent me a hat, and finally, even with the slowness of the post office, I finally got my hat. And they even sent me a nice card, too, which says that they can't wait to see me at the stadium for a game, hopefully this year. I will definitely take a trip in. I will bring friends and I will bring family. Hopefully some of my followers and listeners can go to a game and we'll make a thing out of it. Why the hell not? And I'll talk to the team and maybe we can get some kind of, special arrangement or something like that. Or I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what they can do. I think that would be really cool. They are our affiliate and we got to show them some love too. All right. And it's a good place to go to meet the future Yankees and get some autographs. That's what one of my buddy does at Wilkes-Barre, Scranton Wilkes-Barre. He gets there early. He gets a lot of autographs. So it'll happen in AA too, folks. So definitely, when we get baseball and we can go to these games, whoever's listening now, make a trip. Plan a trip, take your friends, take your family, and go to a game in Somerset and watch our AA team. I think you'll have fun. If you've ever been to a minor league game, it's fun. All right? It's stress-free. You go there mainly to just watch the talent. It's nice when we win, but you're there to see our kids and see how they progress. And that's part of the whole experience. And I'm very thankful for them for sending me the hat. Very cool. And I appreciate it. Real Writers, you're next. I'm going to get a hat from you guys, too, if it's the last thing I do. One that I don't have to buy just going up to the games. So, all right. Back to the arbitration. Now, looks like none of our guys are headed to the judge. All of them. All the guys that were available came up with pretty good deals. So we'll start with Judge. Judge ended up getting a raise. And he agreed on a $10,175,000 contract for next season. He earned, I think he was making, he was making $8.5 million last year. It's a nice raise for a guy who missed most of the season. So, whew, we'll see. That's crazy. Wonder how much he'll make next year if he has a bet. Well, if they end up starting the season on time, and he'll play more games than he did last season. Wonder how much he'll make next year. Looks like Glaber and the Yankees have settled on $4 million, which is pretty nice. So he got himself, he's making $4 million this year. Gary ends up at 6.3, which is a little bit higher than I thought. Gio gets a nice raise to 4.6. Voit shoots all the way up to 4.7. Monty gets 2.1, and Clint rounds out with 2.1 as well. So nice little pay raises here for the boys. I like it. We're keeping our young talent here. Our Gems and Voight and Geo still paid reasonably cheaper than what they probably should make now. So I'm loving it. Next year it's going to be a little difficult with contracts, I'm sure. But for right now, I mean, this is why the window's closing. We have to strike now while these guys are reasonably cheap. Oh, and also Chad Green at 2.1 too. Yeah, so we need to strike now because these guys are going to get expensive. Judge is next year is it. After next year, it's contract time for him. And this is going to be probably the biggest contract he will ever get because he's going to be, I guess, in his 29th age. So after that, that's it. The numbers go down. So he's going to be looking for a 6 or 7 year deal. Probably around, my guess would be, he'll be looking for something around $300 million. I don't think the Yankees will give that to him, but we'll see. But we will talk about that next year. For right now, we are just super excited about DJ coming back. We're super excited about Kluber, who was my guy. Yes, I am going to be that guy. I'm going to be annoying about it because I was the only one talking about it. Nobody else was. Everybody was just thinking about Paxton, thinking about Tanaka, and I thought, man, we can get this guy cheap. Even though it's a little bit more expensive than I thought. But if we can get this guy, I think he would be a steal. And I think I'm going to be right. I think I'm going to be proven right. I mean, he did impress a lot of the scouts that went down to see him. And he was only throwing 89-90. So, I think if he can get loose, ramp it up with spring training and everything, get him back up to a 94, I think that'll be effective. I'm loving it. What else is going on? We got A-Rod news. I don't know if you guys heard about this, but A-Rod is being sued by his former brother-in-law. Because he apparently is a racketeer. It's unbelievable. You know, just when everybody's starting to get on his side and starting to cut him slack, he does, you know, he's just being A-Rod, I guess. I don't know. And if this is true, what's being alleged in this lawsuit, I'm not going to be happy. All right? I'm going to be pissed. And I'll be done with him. I've cut him a lot of slack because I think he is a really good player, a great player, despite the steroids, which I think, you know, some people get a pass on it, Poppy, and, you know, he caught a lot of slack for it. Now, a lot of people hate him. A lot of Yankee fans hate him. I'm not one of them, but if this lawsuit is true, then I will definitely not be on his side. I will never praise him again. So let me read you this story here. This is from the CBS Sports website. It says, Alex Rodriguez sued by ex-brother-in-law who seeks millions and claims A-Rod profited from hurricane relief. I mean, I just don't like the way that sounds already. Constantine Skirtis was Alex Rodriguez's in-law until 2008. The former brother-in-law of the former MLB star and current baseball analysis, Alex Rodriguez, is demanding millions of dollars in back pay from the ex-slugger in a civil suit filed to Miami Civil Court last week. The suit alleges that a business of A-Rod's tried to profit off the damage that the Hurricane Ike created in 2008, and that the three-time MVP nearly caused the ex-brother-in-law to lose his home. Constantine Skirtis, the brother of Cynthia Skirtis, Rodriguez's wife from 02 to 08, claimed that a business relationship between himself and the former Rangers player began to deteriorate as the ball player's marriage did. They formed a real estate partnership in 03, where Rodriguez would make most of the money, as his name was the cash cow of the business, and Skirtis would get the rest plus a fee for any acquisitions made. Then in 08, Skirtis was allegedly kicked out of the office, and despite reassurances from A-Rod himself, the business relationship and friendship was dissolved. This became official when, as the lawsuit claims, Rodriguez sold the company's assets to a new company, this one with Skirtis. Through their racketeering, the lawsuit says, Rodriguez and his co-conspirators have cost Skirtis many millions of dollars in damages. Skirtis goes on as far to claim that in the lawsuit that Rodriguez committed fraud, claiming that the Yankees pariah falsely reported to the government that Skirtis was sent payments, which resulted in the IRS filing a tax lien and threatening Skirtis' home and bank account. Skirtis also alleges that Rodriguez tried to profit off of Hurricane Ike, as in the alleged scheme, Rodriguez's company, Newport Property Ventures, created accounting records reflecting significantly inflated damages to the properties it owned. Skirtis claimed that Rodriguez then paid off a whistleblower to stay silent after she called them out on it. The suit even includes acquisitions not directly related to the business venture the two shared. Skirtis alleges that Rodriguez looked him in the eye and swore he never cheated on his sister in a conversation that happened just before the tabloids would publish stories of infidelity. This is not the first time Skirtis has tried to sue Rodriguez. His first suit dates back to a decade ago with a string of failed suits following thereafter. This suit, however, includes a particularly entertaining line that paints the two Skirtis siblings as being victims of Rodriguez's unfaithfulness. After Rodriguez's wife discovered the truth about Rodriguez's infidelity and filed for divorce, Rodriguez then turned on Constantine and cheated on him, the lawsuit says. Jesus Christ. It's like a goddamn soap opera. So needless to say, if he defrauded the insurance companies and basically was saying that the damage was worse than what originally happened, and he's getting more money back. Well, that's insurance fraud, brother. And if proven, well, let's just say he doesn't have to worry about the lawsuit from his brother-in-law. He might have to worry about going to jail. Now he's a rich guy, basically a billionaire. I mean, he's not, but he basically is. These guys rarely ever go to jail. It's a little guy like you and me that, you know, does shit like that to survive, and we end up going to jail. So, you know, he'll buy his way out of it. But if this is proven in open court, at least in the lawsuit, and his ex-brother-in-law ends up winning, that's a big blow to the A-Rod machine that he's basically rebuilt after the steroids. All right? He done like a complete 180, built up his profile all the way up to being a respectable businessman that he is now. And if it's shady business practices like this, and his character is already in question, well, let's just say I can give a shit about his personal life, but I will give a shit if he's ripping off people that have to pay. This is why our insurance rates are so high. We have to make up for fucking A-Rod getting money back. That shit pisses me off. All right, because the insurance companies, they're not in the games to lose. Somebody's making up the free fall. And it certainly ain't him. It's certainly us. So if proven to be true, A-Rod, I'm done with him. Now, in jest, I sent him a message. I tweeted to him saying, you know, hey, you're getting sued. Come on my show and tell your side of the story. Which would which would send my show to the moon if I was able to land A-Rod for an interview. Now, of course, no comment, nothing coming back. I guess I'm not that big yet. Maybe in a couple years. Maybe I'll get to visit A-Rod in jail, and maybe I could do my interview there. How's that sound? Maybe I'll be big enough then. Doesn't seem like anybody else is asking him for comment. You know, if you got something to say, say it. If your lawyer doesn't want you to say it, don't say anything that'll, be used against you in the court of law there, friend. But you should be able to defend yourself, and I'm giving you a platform. So anytime you want to come on here, buddy, shoot me a message. I'll drop whatever I'm doing, and we'll make it happen. I know I'm saying that in jest. It's not going to happen, but I'm putting it out there anyway. Just like I put out that we were going to get Kluber, and we did. Ah, you see what I did there? I'm going to keep doing that because I'm going to be annoying fuck about it. Hey, take a deep breath. Sit back, lean back, and smile because we just re-signed EJ. How's that feel? Does that feel great? Not as great as it's going to feel in October. Folks, the rest of the league seems to, the American League seems to have gotten weaker. And just by bringing back our guy already has made us a stronger team. But there's still moves to make. I don't want to be the best team in the American League. I want to be the best team in baseball. And like I said, the window's closing and it's time to put the hammer down. It's time to shit or get off the pot. There's contracts that we're stuck with, and there's contracts that we're going to have to give out in the next couple years. And there's going to be pieces coming in. There's going to be pieces going out. And we have a pretty good base now. And we have a few good bunch of kids that are either going to be contributors or they're going to be shipped out because we can't keep holding on to this. And we need to decide if this is it. Are we going for it? Because I don't know about you. 17, we were lucky to get as far as we did. And it was a magical run. And then after that, we seemed to get worse and worse after every year. What are we doing? Now we've made some mistakes, and some of it has been bad luck. A lot of it has been bad health. And the team has survived a lot. But it's time to go for the kill. All right? I don't want these little moves. It's nice to go out and get the Klubers of the world where it's low risk, big reward. I mean, that's how we got Gio and that's how we got Voit. And they're big parts of this team, and I love it. I love Cashman for it. But at this time, when the window is closing because this team can't seem to get ahead of themselves, it's time to put the hammer down. And it's time to make a big move. A move that's out there, and I don't know if it's trade or free agency-wise, where the rest of the league goes, oh, shit. Oh, shit. I think the Yankees are back. All right? We have the pieces. Let's make it work. And I don't know. I mean, I will keep you abreast of any further rumors, any further moves. If we have another day like this again in a couple days, we'll definitely do another show. I won't wait so long. We finally have something to talk about. Other than, you know, God damn it. This team got this guy, and this team got this guy. And, you know, the Phillies got Bradley, and I wanted Bradley. I thought he would have been great. It seemed like he wanted to come here. They only paid him $6 million. I thought, shit, for $6 million, that's a fucking steal. Why didn't we offer that? There was a report of Brad Hand and the Mets possibly coming to a deal, but then now I heard that Hand kind of backed off. I think he's looking for more money. So I don't so much see the Yankees going after him, but you never know. But there's moves to be made. And the one thing for sure, and this is what I'm seeing out there, everybody is happy, but everybody is also like, what's next? And here's something funny. Now, Theo Epstein, we all know who Theo Epstein is. I'm not going to go over what he did. We all know who he is. Took a job with the commissioner's office yesterday, and his job is to figure out ways to make baseball more exciting. And I had put out a poll the other day. This is before all the craziness. About what should be a move that he should make to make the game exciting. Now, my question was, should MLB consider banning the shift as part of adding excitement back to the game? Yes or no? No at 53.3%. Yes at 46.7%. So very close, but a lot of people seem to like the shift. Now, I've never been a fan of the shift. And as a couple of my comments say, that a baseball player should learn to hit the pitch where it's at and take it the other way. I agree. But at the same time, you have to remember that in this new era of baseball, in the home run or bust, home runs is how you make your money. Now, slapping a ball the other way does marvelous for your batting average, but apparently, batting averages don't matter anymore. It's the big home run. Get on base and hit a home run. Now, batting average should matter. It matters to me. I believe that you should definitely learn to hit the other way. Go with the pitch. But that's not how they do it anymore. Now, because of that, to open up the scoring, you should be not allowed to shift. Now, if you remove the shift, balls are going to make it through the holes like it used to be before they started shifting. A base hit up the middle is still a base hit up the middle. Now, because there's no shortstop or second baseman standing behind the bag, it's not a ground out anymore. Things like that. You know, I don't know what they're going to do. I just threw that out there to see if that's something maybe they're considering. Like I said, I'm not a fan of it. I know a lot of people are. It's great when our team can make the play because of the shift. But everybody's doing it, and then it's getting crazy with the five infielders and two outfield things that Tampa was doing. Like, what the fuck is that? Because the analytics and everything show, well, this is how they hit. Okay. But now it's a defensive game. And we got games, low-scoring games. I'm sorry. You can't mark, as much as a baseball purist and I am, I love a pitcher's duel. Don't get me wrong. Okay. I love it. I love the tight scores. I love a 2-1 game. To me, that's great. But people like me are the old school people that, like, Major League Baseball has us, and we're not going anywhere. Okay? But they want the kids, and they want the younger generation. They want people who watch football where there's so much scoring now, and they watch all this other stuff, and they want the excitement. They want the highlights. They want the big highlight plays, and that's what they need to build their sport on. All right, so that means more scoring. To me, means banning the shift. Now, I'm not sure what they're going to do. I'm not sure if that's even coming up. But we're going to keep an eye on that anyway, because I'm very curious to see what he's going to say. So between that, any more moves the Yankees are going to make, whether it's tomorrow, the day after, or anytime soon after, I will be back that evening. You can book it. Speaking of booking it, subscribe wherever you listen. Tell your friends, tell your family. Leave a comment. Follow me on Twitter at Savage Empire Pod. I'm pretty good dude. I don't fight with nobody usually. I try to have civil conversations, and I'm a fun follow. Most likely I'll follow you back. And let's build this show. That's what I always keep saying. It's about you guys. It's not so much about me. It's about you. We do this together. A-Rod, come on this show, my friend. Come on this show. We'll talk about your lawsuit. You're an innocent man, right? Got nothing to fear. Let's talk about it. We'll keep an eye on that, too, for developments. You guys have a great night. And as always, go Yankees.